In the 35 years since I've stood on this commons, I've had the good fortune to travel around the world to paint murals in some extraordinary places. And wherever I've gone, when we've sat down to talk and to share, I found that people knew about my friend Sandy Scheuer. Perhaps not by name, but by deed, and by what happened here in May 4th of 1970. In Estelí, Nicaragua, I painted a mural about Ben Linder, a young engineer working to provide potable water for the poor of the region, who was murdered by U.S.-backed Contras during the Sandinista Revolution. There, where so many families had been touched by the hands of the torturers, they knew about Kent State and what had happened here and about our loss. In the Arab village of Ennahda, I painted about Rachel Corey. She was a student from Evergreen State College in Washington State, murdered by the Israeli army while opposing the demolition of a Palestinian home. In Ennahda, people also knew what happened at Kent State and understood our loss from 35 years ago. In the embattled island of Cuba, victims of a cruel embargo from this country that hurts the very young and the very old, I found students who were so proud of their school that they had named the Martyrs of Kent State School. At Chernobyl, where death is invisible and silent from their nuclear poison, in the bombed city of Baghdad, in the Ardoyne section of Belfast, wherever I have gone to paint murals in solidarity with working people, people know about Kent State, what happened here, and what we gave up on May 4th of 1970. At the time of the massacre, I was a member of the Young Socialist Alliance and chairman of the Kent State Student Mobilization Committee against the war in Vietnam. SMC was a national organization that demanded the immediate and unconditional withdrawal of all U.S. forces from Southeast Asia. The Kent chapter of SMC sponsored large student demonstrations on this campus prior to the shootings. Sandy would occasionally come to a meeting or help with distributing some flyers. She did it because she was my friend. She did it because she wouldn't be silent in the face of great injustice. I teased her about being more active. She made fun of me and ignored me. On the day of the shootings, after the guard had fired, Jerry Persky, a friend of mine, ran up to me. "They shot Sandy," he said. "Who?" I said, "They shot Sandy." "Who?" It didn't sink in. I couldn't believe that my friend Sandy had been shot. Why would they shoot Sandy? I can scarcely believe it to this day. After the shootings, a massive student strike shook this country. Students occupied universities and ceased all business as usual. I traveled to a number of those strike rallies. I saw gatherings where thousands of students were meeting, discussing, debating, acting, voting. I saw the great creativity that was unleashed by mass political action from the mass of students in this country. And I began to think that we might win, we might force an end to the war. Later, I was involved in organizing in Texas. Students were pivotal in reaching out to soldiers at the many military bases there. On October 27th of 1971, I watched as 20,000 protesters marched past the Texas State House, led by thousands of active duty GIs. And I understood then that we were going to win, and we won. We forced the U.S. out of Southeast Asia. The army had been won to the anti-war movement. It had become unreliable. They were refusing to fight. We succeeded because of the actions of millions of people. It was not because of a small group of radicals. It was certainly not because of some liberal politicians. No, we did it. People like you and I. Sandy Scheuer was part of it. We, in our millions, we forced them out of Vietnam. When we act together, millions of us, we can change the world. Human solidarity can defeat corporate greed, and that is the great lesson of our time. And we must not allow the history of our movement to be rewritten. We must not allow them to trivialize what we did and the sacrifices that we made at Jackson State and at Kent State and in other places around the country and around the world. Our great movement inspired new struggles. The women's movement, the gay rights movement, the ecology movement, all of the social movements of the 1970s. And most importantly of all, we laid the basis for the powerful anti-war movement that is growing and developing today. Because this is an ongoing struggle. It doesn't end with Vietnam or Iraq. It is the struggle of our epoch. Today, as we meet here, surrounded by skeletons of cities where the jobs have been lost, ruled by leaders whose minds are as empty as those factories, today, we have an obligation. Because even the pharaohs, with their slavery and their overseers, built pyramids and created great culture. The robber barons, with all their brutality, built railroads and industry. But today, we live under a ruling class that produces nothing of value, nothing but death and destruction. They are without vision and without imagination. In their lust for profits, they would balkanize the world. They would create 1,000 wars with millions of deaths. But we have imagination, and we can envision a different world. We can envision a world without borders. These children of wealth and privilege, who have never worked, would plunder our Social Security for their personal gain. But we have a different vision in our minds. We can imagine a world where labor has value and where the elderly are valued. They cannot imagine a world where human needs come before profits, but we can. And they would continue to sacrifice our brothers and sisters, our children, in their mad greed. But we can see a world of peace, and we can fight for that world. The February demonstrations prior to the invasion of Iraq were the largest anti-war demonstrations in human history. That is Sandy Scheuer's legacy. Today, as we meet here, major industrial unions have taken positions against the war and the occupation. West Coast longshoremen are organizing in actions to refuse to ship war goods. Railroad workers in England and Italy and Japan have struck against the U.S. occupation of Iraq. Today, as we meet here, there is a growing movement of active duty GIs and their families, including people like Pablo Paredes, whose petition sits on that table over there and you should all sign, are organizing in the Army to do what we did during Vietnam. Today, as we meet here, all across the country, high school students are organizing to drive military recruiters from their schools. There is a global movement against the occupation of Iraq, and that is the legacy of our martyrs at Kent and Jackson. I can still see the spark in Sandy Scheuer's eyes, as though it was yesterday, and I have not been back here for these commemorations. And I've seen that spark on demonstrations around the country and around the world. And that spark comes from people who are animated by a collective vision of peace and justice. and I see it in the faces of young people here today. I want to thank you for allowing me these few words. I have not come here to mourn. I've come to honor my friend, to celebrate our collective vision, and I've come to say that we are here. We will never forget. We are marching, and we will win. Thank you.